It's by his righteousness, by God's righteousness, through Christ's faith, you are made perfect. We are all made one together according to this teaching that Paul is giving us. And he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his view and opinion, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Whoa. Now, I don't know what that strength will do, but it has to be good stuff. There is something so powerful that it strengthens us so much within. And what does the other stuff do? What would self-righteousness do? And me thinking that my faith has given me access to God. Wouldn't it take away my strength? Wouldn't you feel weak? Anemic, incapable of approaching God? Would you have boldness to approach? Would you have confidence about your relationship with God? You're not going to, because your confidence is in your own faith. But when your confidence is in the faith of Christ, you have great confidence. Man, I love that term, glory. He says, that he might grant you, according to the riches of his view and opinion, his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Whoa. Now, remember the default in Paul's teaching when he talks about faith. Whose faith is he talking about? In context, whose faith is he talking about? Remember what it said. He says that we have access and confidence by the faith of him. So when he said, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, whose faith is he talking about? In context, it's the faith of him. Does Christ dwell in your heart? How did he get there? By his own faith. So how many hearts does Christ dwell in? Wow. You see, my job as a minister is not to get Christ into you. My job as a minister is to reveal Christ in you. The hope of glory, the view and the opinion of God. I can't get Christ into your heart. I can't get you righteous. I can't teach you the formula or the way to believe or do anything else to cause fact to become fact. Either fact is fact or it's fiction. And I do not believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is fiction. And the rest of the Christian community teaches it as though it's a fiction that could possibly become fact if you do everything right. And I don't believe that. I believe that there is nothing that a human being can do to undo the faithfulness of God. Our unfaithfulness does not make him unfaithful. Our unbelief does not cause his faith to become ineffective. There is nothing we do. Folks, we either become congruent with truth or we're fighting against truth. We're running against the grain of truth. We cannot establish and make truth truth. We can just work with it. That's all we can do so that it can work with us. And whatever that is, he says it's powerful. Whatever that is, he says it's powerful. Ah, I love this. Now look what else he says. What happens when you are rooted and grounded in confidence by the faith of him? Christ dwells in your heart by his own faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. What is that a revelation of? When you begin to understand that Christ is dwelling in your heart by Christ's own faith, what does that root and ground you in? That's a revelation of love if there ever was one. I'm moving in. I'm living with you. I don't care whether you're out smoking dope, whether you believe in me or don't believe in me. Go and look at the Corinthians chapter of love. What does love never do? Love never finds fault. Love don't judge. And what God is love, folks. How could Christ dwell in your heart by your faith and that give you a revelation of God's love? It's not possible. Now, the wild thing about it is you'll come out of this being a stronger believer and having stronger faith than you ever had in your life once we take your faith and let it be applied to something that is other than what has already been accomplished. If you're going to use it, I don't know. You say, well, how do I use my faith? Oh, man, I tell you, once you get the confidence, I don't know what you can do with your faith. You do it. You practice. You define what that is for yourself. You succeed. You press forward. You make something out of your life. You let your life be full with all the things that life has to offer. But I tell you, you will deny yourself of the good things of life unless you get God's view and opinion of you firmly settled in your heart, knowing that Christ dwells in your heart by Christ's faith. Then you're free. That's what it's called, being free. That means I'm free. Oh my God. Oh yes, Mike, we know what you're out teaching. You're just teaching. You can go out and do any old thing you want to. Well, you can. We can be as stupid as we want, but it also gives you access to being as wise as you want. Yes, folks, I'm afraid that this gives you access to totally screw up your life. But it is the only thing that gives you access to being able to realize the full potential of life. And there is no such thing that gives you full potential without also giving you the ability to totally screw up at the same time. If you couldn't do both things with it, you wouldn't be free. You wouldn't be free if you couldn't do both things with it. We're getting close to the end. Not the end of the world, but we've already done that, haven't we? Oh, man. Look. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints. Now, what gives you the ability to comprehend? You must be rooted and grounded in love, which has been placed there how? By Christ dwelling in your heart by His faith. By how? Because you have gotten a revelation that this is, you have access and confidence to God and to the Spirit of God through the faith of Christ. What is this leading on down to? This is progressive. We just got to follow through with the progression. That you may be able to comprehend. Wow. Wow. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all understanding, that ye might be filled with all of the fullness of God. How many of you have struggled to get filled with all the fullness of God? Oh, man, you get emptier with every step of struggle, don't you? Man, I'm telling you what, this is, you know all a vessel can do is just sit there and get filled? You ever seen a vessel get itself filled? You ever seen a glass of wine sit there and struggle to be filled with wine? You know, I'm just aching, oh my goodness, I'm scooting myself over a little closer to the bottle of wine. You know, I'm tipping myself over a little bit. Come on, give me some. That's not what happens, folks. And that is the foolishness of what we've done in our Christian walk. And to know the love of Christ, and to know the love of Christ, and to know the love of Christ. Oh, to know the love of Christ. Man, when you realize none of this was done with you, but only for you, you'll know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that you've got that, now that we've grown, remember Paul said, you're not here yet, okay? I'm just letting you know that this is the process. Remember Paul said, I'm trying to apprehend that which I was apprehended for. Now he's telling you the process here. He says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that's working in us. Whatever God does in your life, He does it according to what? The power He's got in heaven? He does it according to the power that's working in you. And how is that power working in you? It works in you by the degree of self-righteousness you've divested yourself of. Because you now can see, you understand God's view and opinion of you. You have confidence. You have all of these, you have understanding. You can comprehend things you never could comprehend before. And you stand back and say, why did I never see that before? You see through your relationships. You see your relationships for what they are and how they can work in ways that you never, your pride wouldn't let them work. You see how to deal with kids. You see how to deal with business. You see how to deal with all of these things, because you're free to allow the power that is living inside of you do its own work, which is totally blinded over with legalism to the power that work according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in Christ by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What a process. I don't know that I could explain to you just how much power lives inside of you. And I'm quite sure that I cannot even describe to you what that looks like or what it will mean to you. I can just tell you that it's there. But I also can tell you it operates by the degree that you divest yourself of self-righteousness and you're able to comprehend that Christ dwells in your heart by Christ's own faith. And the qualification of having that power is through the righteousness that God gave you through His faith. So, well, Mike, where is my faith? Your faith is translated as confidence. That's what it is. According to what we just read, your faith is that which results in believing that everything is a work of God, done by Christ, through Christ, for you, not with you. And once that settles, can you see where confidence can come? Because it's not based on your righteousness. It's not based on your faith. How many of you have just approached things and thinking, boy, I need the faith to do this, I need the faith to do that, I need the faith to get that done, and you know your faith ain't good enough. Because when you start to do it, remember what you learned in church, your faith won't work unless you're tithing, your faith won't work if you and your husband are in disagreement, your faith won't work if you got sin in your life, your faith won't work if you're complaining, your faith won't work with, and the list goes on. Did that give you confidence? No, it tore the confidence out of the thing that you have called faith. All I'm doing, folks, is trying to rip out those horrible roots of self-righteousness that was been put there by the church. Didn't get put there by the devil. It got put there by preaching. It didn't get put there because you visited a porno shop. It didn't get there because you went to watch an R-rated movie. It didn't get there because you had a bottle of wine. All of this stuff didn't get there because you did something that's unapproved. It got there because you bought in to a system that said you had to do something to be approved. And now that all has to be pulled out root by root. root by root. It's just, and it's, you know, I wish I could tell you, and let me tell you something. I've watched people get this and pass me up a million miles because something clicked just right where they were, and they cut ties with self-righteousness and walked away from it in a profound way. And even me, that I, folks, just because I can teach it doesn't mean that gives you no indication as to where I am in my apprehension of that which I've been apprehended for. All right? Because that is a personal thing. That is something that I work through on a daily basis. And let me tell you something. I know I still have self-righteousness in me. You say, how do you know that, Mike? Because I still, on occasion, get angry with God. Do you know if you get ticked off at God, it means we do not comprehend the incredible love that's been bestowed upon us. I never will forget. It came so clear to my heart years ago. I was so ticked off. I was cussing. I was upset. And just to my heart, it just came just roaring into my heart like a flood. And it's like, why are you mad at me? Why are you angry with me? And I, because I had a friend that was sick and was dying, and I saw him hurting and withered, and I prayed for him, and he didn't get healed, and I wanted so much. I thought, what do you want me to do? Fast for 40 days? What do you want me to do? What can I do? This man is suffering. He's a good man. He's tried to tell people about the grace of God. God, I'm angry with you. I can't even tell you what all I said. I was crying so hard. In anger. And he said, son, are you angry with me? And I said, blankety blank blank, yes. He said, then you don't understand me yet. Because if you understand me, you'd have no reason to be angry with me. Now, the awesome thing was I had the freedom to get angry. The incredible thing was he didn't strike me dead for all the stuff I said. Folks, there's been ways I've proved the grace of God you wouldn't want to know about. But it's real. It's very, very real. It's very, very powerful. What we're going to be doing in the following sessions and the weeks that I'm going to be coming back here is I'm never going to tell you what you got to do. You can do anything you want to do. My job as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to help you to apprehend that which you've been apprehended for. I can't give you anything. I can't make you more righteous. Nothing I tell you will gain you favor with God. Nothing. I can only help you understand the favor you have. I can't tell you to do anything to gain it. Because that would be Antichrist doctrine. And I will not preach Antichrist doctrine. Christ in you, the hope of the view and the opinion of God, which is true reality on this earth. Good news. Good news. I don't know how long we did that. You're good. This says an hour and 18 minutes. But oh, you were counting my introduction. Yes. Yes.
But I totally feel like right now, I think this is why, I remember telling you why I just briefly never heard you, but this is what changed my life, when we first heard it. And many people in this world, even my mom, who I'm so close to, or whoever, you know who I am. This is who I am. That's what I just felt. This is who I am. And that's why I feel like maybe I don't feel this way anymore, that by that passion of wanting people to know how great this is,
yeah.
You know? And you feel like you can't really, no one can really understand.
Yes, I do, and I do know. And that's that process. You know, then everyone that I've seen go through Paul's conversion, I call it Paul's conversion now, that divest themselves of self-righteousness, there's a sense of alienation from everybody that you ever went to church with, everybody you've known. Because there is something that is so big on the inside, it's like, I can't connect. I can embrace them, but it's like there's so much happening inside of me, I don't know that they can embrace me. And it's, but by design, I think it's a bit of a lonely path anyway. These are things, your comprehension of what you've been comprehended for is not, it's not a group plan. It's you individually walking through this yourself. And there is that, and we've got all those analogies in the Old Testament about this lonely walk, you know, this lap around the mountain, all of these things, you know, we could, you know, Jacob's well experience, on and on and on and on and on. We have those things, and everybody that seems to go through this goes through that feeling of I'm disconnected, and now where do I connect? And I think it's what you're expressing, is that it's a desire to have other people to understand it, because now you know me. Mm-hmm. You know me. Yes. 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 And that's what Paul called, I think, the unity of the faith. He said, I'm praying until we all come into the unity of the faith. And the unity of whose faith? Again, remember Paul's default. Till we all come into the unity of the faith of the Son of God. See, each church has its own faith. There's the Baptist faith, Catholic faith, you know, the Second Baptist faith, the Free Will Baptist faith, and all of their faiths, because it's based on something they do, keep them separated from everybody else. But do you see how that this does not put you on that level of anything? The unity of the faith is the faith of Christ. Because even though they think it's their faith, it's not their faith. And even though, yes, you say, well, Mike, well, you disagree with everybody else just like they do. This is the difference. When they disagree with me, they see me as unholy, unrighteous, and going to hell. I disagree with them and still tell them, you're holy, you're righteous, and you have an eternal inheritance. Now, that's a unity that can abide. Any other comments, questions?
I know, huh? And just being able to talk freely with my husband, my feelings of how I feel, about him not wanting to, not being willing to come and listen. And yet, it was so wonderful to walk out the door and say, it was so wonderful that you gave me grace to listen to me, and that we could talk graciously.
Isn't that amazing?
And that it's all right.
Yeah.
Even your words are at.
Doesn't make you less.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like he's blessed.
No. Oh, no. Yeah. No. You know? But I was still able to share how I wanted him to.
Instead of bottling up your feelings inside. It's kind of like what we just read, what Paul said. You have access with confidence now. And you not only have access to God, you have access to friends with confidence. Man, the access and the confidence to be honest with people. What a huge thing, you know, just to be able to be honest.
Oh.
where that you don't have to try to present yourself as to what you think that they want you to be or want to say. That on any level, whether it's no matter what, whatever level, you know how with friendships, many times we tiptoe around each other and we're not honest with each other because we think we're protecting their feelings. Well, that's never helping anybody. But the confidence in your own identity in Christ helps you to be honest with people in a helpful way, not a condescending way. But you're not afraid to express your opinion anymore. You're not afraid to have an opinion. And that's a very powerful thing.
I went to this workshop and this guy taught on how most people live their lives under, you know, resentment, resistance, and revenge.
Yes. And been there, done that.
My own life. And I still do. I mean, I catch myself, and this has really helped me.
Yeah.
Just set me free to, I don't have to go into resentment because we disagree.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just so
wonderful.
It is. It is.
It's awesome.
Kind of
get
you past judging. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And how that frees you. We don't realize how when I pass a judgment on somebody, how that binds me. That binds my heart. You know, I think that I'm, you know, doing something to them by judging them, bless God, because they need to be judged. The only person I'm doing is this, it's just me that's getting bound up by my judgments of them. They're not bound up by my judgments, unless they believe them. Yes.
So the more we understand, it's just this process. So I felt like I would never want anybody, and I maybe nobody heard that way, but it's not a striving thing to get this understanding. It's just the process.
It's just the process.
Like, that is the power of God right there. That is the power of this gospel, what it's done in Christian's heart to be able to be okay.
Yeah.
Be okay. For Barb to not hate her ex-husband and get to that place. She may not be there now, but the little baby steps in the process.
Yeah.
And then she's okay. That is stinking powerful.
It is.
I don't know that we think we need to be looking for this huge, what these huge great things I'm going to do. There's a commercial that I saw on TV that really kind of blew me away. Remember that one I was sharing with you that this one person was pushing a stroller and her baby dropped something on the ground and this guy saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked it up and gave it back to the baby. And a third person saw him do that. So
right.
He was walking down the street. Somebody made a car door open, so he opened the door. A third person saw that. And this, so that is, we just don't know.
No. Any degree of impact it has right now is plenty powerful enough. We don't know what it could be or the full potential of it. But any degree of it is just amazing. It's amazing. I think that's where, you know, a lot of the teaching now by motivational speakers and stuff, you'll hear a lot of things about living in the now. But see, what they have found out living in the now is vitally important. But if you've got religious preconceptions that are holding you in guilt, and see, they're trying to help you get rid of guilt and judgment, because guilt is the past and judgment is the future. And see, they know the disabling power of that. So they're trying to get you to live in the now, but they're not getting rid of the stuff that's keeping you from living in the now. Now, what I hear you guys saying is, without struggle, you are now living in the present moment. And even if the present moment means, you know, he doesn't want to come yet, so-and-so is not ready to do this, I may not be completely out of the pain of a divorce or whatever, but it still does not rob you of experiencing the moment. And see, I love motivational speaking, but a lot of times they tell us what needs to be done, but we don't have the mechanics to do it. because I think this gospel is, I believe Jesus is the answer. I just know he is the answer. And so many things can help us along the way, but the only thing that will free the heart from guilt and judgment is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There just is nothing else. It's our default. It's guilt and judgment is our default. And it's time we get away from it. Before I get too far and we go to another session, I want your money, okay? And we need you to make out some checks to Mike Williams Ministries. That is fully tax deductible. And so, gosh, if you give $1 million, you'll get $500,000 off your taxes. Isn't that amazing? So anyway, these are the only ones. We're selling donuts today. These are $50 a piece. No. And also, these series, even though there's just a few here, when you look at them, there's the CDs are $8 a piece. There's three of these. That's the entire book of Galatians. And so that's 24. The others are 5 tape series. This one deals with end time doctrines and puts them in a perspective you have never heard before. So the doctrine of fulfillment. Those are 5. So these are 40. They're 40 and 24. This one's 24, and the other 3 are 40 each. All right.